thousand years. And this evening we're going to take a slice of that text from the book of John, and we're going to lay it on the table and discuss it with you. The question we want to ask tonight is, does what John wrote 2,000 years ago hold any meaning for us today? Or have we somehow escaped that need and gone on to some kind of new world where we don't need what was written 2,000 years ago? And we're anxious, of course, for your input. You certainly do not have to be a Lutheran or a Christian. You can be just about anything you want to be and still participate in this program. All you have to do is pick up your phone and dial 831-479-1080 and 477-1340. Love to have you aboard. And speaking of aboard, tonight we have two pastors from local churches joining us. We have Pastor Rick Rice from Messiah Lutheran Church in Santa Cruz. Welcome back, Pastor
Good
Rick.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you up and about again, looking strong, looking fit, looking good. Also, Pastor Clark Brown from St. Timothy in Monterey. Welcome aboard,
Pastor. Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, have we worked together?
I don't think so. Not with you at the mic.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble then, huh? We'll have some fun tonight. Folks, this is the second Sunday. We're looking at the second Sunday in the season of Lent, and we're going to the book of John. We have been cruising along in the book of Matthew, and now we're in the book of John. So I thought we'd take just a moment before we get into the gospel lesson and talk about the common lectionary and how the churches use the common lectionary as a guide that takes us through the church year. And there are three church years. Pastor Clark Brown, how does all of this work, this common lectionary? Who uses it, for example?
Well, the common lectionary is used by many different denominations, including Lutherans, Presbyterians,
even Catholics,
Episcopalians, Catholics. We have slightly different versions between mm-hmm. some of our churches, but we share a lot in common. Mm-hmm. So you may go to almost any one of these churches and find the same reading being used for that Sunday, which, you know, in itself is a remarkable thing, that we are united by, you know, across these lines, across miles, across various times, through these
millenniums,
readings.
Across yeah. millenniums.
Yeah, that's right. But the lectionary is designed to help us move through the church year. It's designed to teach us the full story of Jesus and of God's people.
From different perspectives, right?
Certainly.
Pastor Rick Rice, there are 3 years, year A, B, and C, and we're in year A right now. How do the years work?
Of the 3 years, they use one of the three synoptic gospels as the primary gospel text during the 3 years. Like, for instance, Series A, which is what the year we're in right now, primarily uses Matthew. And then it goes on through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The fourth gospel actually is brought in on other times. And actually, what's before us tonight
is the book of John.
Is the book of John. And John is brought in into each of the 3 years to pull together a specific thought. Like during the season of Lent right now, some of what we're looking at was last week, the beginning of Lent with the temptation of Jesus, and this week it goes on to talk about the kingdom of God. And, you know, and when I've been on, even the last time during the Epiphany season, it was talking about the kingdom of God then as well. Right. And John is just like that color commentary that brings people back to the message of Jesus in a very simple way.
Well, let's go. Folks, the Gospel of John tonight, John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and we'll just read it around. I'll start it, and we'll go to Clark, and then Rick will pick it up. So, folks, this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit.
What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?
I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into the heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
There it is, folks. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. Very, very famous gospel verse in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. I see that. We were talking before the show, and I said it's the ballpark gospel, because we always see people or some person or a few people holding up signs that say John 3:16. Why are they doing that? Rick?
Well, this text has been always considered one of the best summaries of truly the message of Jesus and the message of God's love. Or to say it another way, God's plan for salvation. That God's love was so great that he allowed his own Son to die for the sake of the world so that everyone could have eternal life. It's a beautiful little passage. And so you see behind the backstop, the zooming in on the from the over the pitcher's shoulder, there's the batter up, and right behind the plate you see somebody with a rainbow-colored wig on with a sign saying John 3:16, because it's the best summary of the whole message of the gospel.
And quite a message for a lonely planet, too, don't you think? I mean,
what's so beautiful about it? It's just what that love is all about, you know. And the word there in the Greek, which is an agape, is a giving love. And this text talks about it. So God so loved the world that he gave. It says it right there. Gave his only begotten Son. And most of the time, people's love, when they think of love, they think of what can I get out of it, the more physical sense. And that's not what it's talking about here. It is talking about that complete love that gives as the gift to someone else.
Was Nicodemus looking for that kind of love when he went looking for Jesus?
I think Nicodemus is a fascinating character, the way he's presented
Nicodemus
in the Gospel of John.
He was a leader of the Jewish faith. I mean, he was an upstanding member of the Jewish faith. He was a leader in the church. He was.
Yeah, a lot of times we see in the Gospels tension between the religious leaders and Jesus.
Almost all the time.
And Jesus is seen as presenting something new that is threatening to them. Mm-hmm. And Nicodemus is one of these leaders. And yet, he comes to Jesus.
In the night.
He seeks him out. And in the night, well, that's... John's telling us that to tell us, you know this isn't... This isn't completely above board. Right. He is not a true follower of Jesus, right, in a sense. Yet Nicodemus, despite all the seemingly criticism here, he appears later on in the gospel. I think we're seeing a complicated story that we are actually just getting a piece of this. Nicodemus's own growth in faith is something that Nicodemus doesn't understand. I think that's what was the tension here. Nicodemus comes, in a sense, wanting to understand, but not necessarily in a really a good way, but in just the human way. He wants to hold on to it. He wants to be able to put it into a box and keep it, you know, under his pillow.
Well, there is that very point there. You know, here he is, one of the upstanding members of the Sanhedrin, some of the rulers, ruling teachers of the times, or scribes. And you know, he is actually on a fact-finding mission in one sense to find out, you know, I've heard about these miracles. I've heard some of these teachings of Jesus.
And he comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, and you the man?
And he didn't do it publicly. He didn't do it in front of other people to find out, you know, and all of a sudden have himself labeled as a follower of Jesus. Instead, he comes behind him, behind the scenes in the middle of the night and says, tell me more about what's going on here.
So there's a genuine curiosity.
I mean, curiosity that is not real sure of what's going on still. Because even throughout the text, he keeps tripping up and going towards a rational, physical answer, not the true spiritual answer that Jesus is laying out.
Well, that's, Jesus gave him lots of reason to look in that direction, did he not? I mean, Jesus was the one that was going about performing all the miracles. And it seems like in this gospel lesson, Jesus becomes somewhat frustrated with people who watch him perform miracles and then think of him as a miracle worker in the wrong sense.
Yeah, and they look at it more in the physical sense. You know, like Jesus' first miracle in changing water into wine, you know, which is a terrific, you know, little message about God's love in itself, and acceptance of many things that some people would, you know, step away from. But here all of a sudden, you know, Nicodemus is, again, thinking about the physical, water into wine, you know, a blind man who can see, and losing track of some of the other statements. You know, when the person is the lame man is told to get up and walk, he says, go and sin no more. Your sins have been forgiven, is the message given there. And well, wait a minute, that's not what I came here for. But that's what he got.
And Jesus says to him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Ooh, born from above.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick break and let's talk about being born from above or being born again. When we come back, it kind of leads us to ask this question of you out there. Clark, what is our question for the evening?
Well, my question is, are you in control?
Oh, are you in control? Well, that's a good one. Are you in control out there? Was Nicodemus in control?
He thought he was.
He thought he was. That's right. Okay, folks, this is Leap to Faith. I am Michael Olson. Tonight we're talking about John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and it's a story of Nicodemus, and it contains one of the most famous of all gospel lessons, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. And so that leads us to ask of you tonight, are you in control of your life? Love to hear from you. 831-479-1980, 477-1340. Give us a ring. Love to hear from you. This is Leap to Faith. Michael Olson. Do stay tuned. Right back.
You're tuned in to the Leap to Faith radio program. Leap to Faith is brought to you by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, by the Churches of the Monterey Bay Area Lutheran Conference, and by listeners just like you. We cordially invite you to experience the gospel lesson being discussed in today's program in Sunday's worship service. One of the principles that Martin Luther championed was that scriptures and worship need to be in the language of the neighborhood. There are 17 neighborhood Lutheran churches in the Monterey Bay area, and some of them are in yours. For Lutheran Lutheran churches near you, log on to our website at www.leaptofaith.org. If you'd like to make a donation to the Leap to Faith radio ministry, please send it to Leap to Faith, care of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, 2500 Soquel, Santa Cruz, California, 95062. You can also make a donation by logging on to www.leaptofaith.org. Now let's go back to Leap to Faith.
Well, let's do that. Let's go back to Leap to Faith. I'm ready. Folks, this is Leap to Faith. Michael Olson here. This evening, we have Pastor Clark Brown from St. Timothy Lutheran in Monterey and Pastor Rick Rice from Messiah Lutheran in Santa Cruz, California. We're talking about the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Nicodemus, one of the leading lights of the Jewish church of the time, decides he'd pay Jesus a visit in the night and really get a sense of what's going on with this man who's been going around performing miracles. And so Nicodemus shows up at where Jesus is staying, and Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus says, "Well, wait a minute here, Nicodemus. I'm here to tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." This Nicodemus kind of reminds me of the listeners to the Phil Henry show that precedes us on this radio station. Phil Henry is a genius radio broadcaster, and what Phil Henry does is that he invents voices. He invents his own guests, and he has the guests say the most outrageous things in the world, and then, of course, he tosses the mic right back to himself, and he says, "I don't believe you just said that," and asks for phone callers. And then people who don't know what Phil Henry is doing, they call him up, and they go after this ersatz guests, and thus the fun. So they're calling up a show, and they're just not getting it at all. And it doesn't seem like Nicodemus was getting it at all either. In spite of what Jesus was trying to preach, Nicodemus was seeing a miracle worker. And it wasn't the message that Jesus was talking about. Jesus was saying that you can't see these things until you're born from above. And there is a pun there that John uses, right? Would you tell us about the pun that...
Yeah, the difficult... Any English... any translator for an English Bible is going to have is that in Greek, the word is anothen, which means at the same time, with equal emphasis, born again and born from above. So
a writer of this text could accurately quote it either way, or probably should quote it both ways.
That's right. And you know, of course, when you're translating and you want to translate this so it can be read, it's hard to put both words in there, and so we're left with this difficulty, this misunderstanding that is carried into our own time, where it's just so ironic that Nicodemus hears this word and he jumps to the wrong conclusion. He thinks it's talking about a physical birth from his mother's womb again.
What does he say? How can you go back to your mother's womb again?
That's
Hello?
Right. And I can remember so vividly, maybe 20 years ago, how many people would be walking around saying, "Are you born again?" Well, missing the point here, because the emphasis is both born anew again, but from above.
One of the things that I've always looked at here is just that very point. When we get so caught up on this physical and being born again, we always have a tendency to start looking upon what is it that I'm doing in the born again process. And what's beautiful about this is truly to understand it's what God is doing. It's been that born from above. And if you take a look in the context, just that verse above it, the question statement that Nicodemus raises, "For no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if not God were with him." Now, Nicodemus doesn't quite catch that Jesus is God. And he's caught on the physical level still. God is with you. And the same thing happens with many of our understanding in terms of the conversion process. Not that God has brought about this experience and now you have a different life, a new creation. We always get caught up in the emotional, physical response. And that's what the born-again experience for some is. And that's truly not where John is taking us and not where Jesus is teaching.
Where Jesus wanted us to come. Yeah. Really, you know, perhaps we should be, instead of talking about born-again, which has kind of become a swear word for describing Christians, but perhaps we should think more in terms of, instead of being born-again, we should think in terms of being born from above.
Yeah. When I was studying this earlier this week, you know, sometimes the Spirit works in ways to help you to know things deeper. And I heard something in this text that I heard it at a deeper level. That is this very mysterious phrase where Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and it's the wind or the Spirit blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And it struck me that what he's saying in this, you know, kind of proverbial little phrase, saying to Nicodemus, look, you know, it's like the wind, and it's like being born. Did you choose to be born? I mean, what a silly thing. To think that you choose to be part of God's kingdom. The birth is something that comes by the Spirit.
You hear it, but you don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it's going.
And what a scary thing for Nicodemus, who is a leader
of the law,
to hear someone say, you know, you're here and you think you're seeking me, but something else brought you here.
Oh.
Something else brought you here. And I think at some level, what is so scary for Nicodemus is he knows it's true. And yet he also wants to still hold on to that control that he thinks he has.
Woo, let's go to the phones. Folks, this is Leap to Faith. Michael Olson here. We're talking about the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Pastor Rick Rice, Messiah of a Lutheran Church in Santa Cruz. Pastor Clark Brown, St. Timothy in Monterey. And we're going to go to the phones right now. And if I can figure out where my arrow is, there. We have Rick calling from Santa Cruz. Rich, welcome to Leap to Faith.
Thank you, Michael. I've got a couple of questions. Number one, what does it mean to believe in Christ?
Yeah, that's actually the question that Nicodemus is being posed with in this text. One of the points here that's what
Nicodemus is trying to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually Jesus in answer, you know, lifts up an Old Testament parable or an Old Testament story of individuals who had been bitten by a snake. They would look upon a brass snake. And the looking upon that would be saved. And the comment was that Jesus is quoting here, you know, in the same way that the snake was lifted up in the desert, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And the whole point there in belief is that we look towards Jesus for our salvation, not ourselves. And that's what that belief is all about, that we look towards Jesus.
Look Clark? Towards Jesus, you know, what does that mean?
Hang on.
Do we follow what he did?
Clark?
Yes. But I think it's definitely more than a sense of you know, this is the part where things get mysterious.
Jesus come to my heart, and that's it.
No, I think what Jesus is pushing Nicodemus to see here is that even his faith is something that is coming from the Spirit, that there's something, you know, we cannot hold God down, we cannot pin God down, and so that there's something happening in Nicodemus that is, you know, truly beyond his control. As soon as we start saying, well, you know, what do I absolutely have to do?
Yeah.
Well, we get into trouble there, because that's the, again, trying to get the control back and try to hold on to it again.
Trying to hold on to the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the image.
The wind, when I fully believe when Jesus was talking about the wind, he was talking about the Holy Spirit.
Oh, very much he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Rich, let me read this over once more so that people who may be just tuning in will
please,
hear.
Michael.
Okay, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Rich?
Well, I think what he's saying is that, you know, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and maybe you don't quite know when it happens or when it doesn't.
And no control, right?
That's a very good
absolutely.
Point you said, Rich. Yeah, I agree with you completely because, you know, that work of the Holy Spirit that makes that transition in your life, sometimes it is not like the famous stories of those born again. They have an aha experience that from they go attend a Billy Graham or something or other and have this big emotional experience. And sometimes it's the very subtle touch of the Holy Spirit, that gentle wind that just slowly nurtures you in. All of a sudden you realize that aha, wow, I do believe. It's something he has done for me, not
or
something I've done.
Maybe I can believe.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to believe?
Well, the one of the things we struggle with is that the emphasis in believing is usually placed on me. You know, I believe, you believe, but somehow here in the Gospel of John, and I think I would say throughout the Christian scriptures, if you look closely, it's, you know, God is moving in our lives, and the, you know, faith is an act of the Spirit. Believing is an act of the Spirit. What does it mean? It means literally, yeah, we follow Jesus, but the motivation for that comes through the Holy Spirit.
All right, but Rich, help us out here.
Jesus said that greater things shall you do because I go unto my Father, but greater things have we done.
You know, the touch of God's love in our lives is really what it's talking about. The greater things is not necessarily talking about greater miracles, but the fact that we have gone beyond Nazareth. We've gone beyond Jerusalem. And the love of God is being spread throughout the world. And, you know, the point of that is the passage very, very close there in John 17. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And that's the point in John 17. We want that unity for the whole world. And that's the greater things, that God's love is being going out to the world.
But how can we know what that love is when we surely have yet to define what is belief in Christ?
You know, that question you're raising, Rich, is actually one I asked an old high school youth director. I said, what is faith? You know, is there a dictionary, you know, in the back of my Bible that, you know, that I can look it up? And he chuckled at me. This is Dick Walker from many years ago. And Dick Walker looked at me and said, you know, there's not a dictionary in the Bible, but let me tell you the passage I would turn to is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And that's that intangible. Okay, what is belief? What is faith? Being certain of what you don't know.
Yeah, there you are.
Well, do you go to funerals?
Oh, yeah, I do go to funerals all the time.
Yeah, just went to one yesterday.
Well, that's not a whole lot of faith.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I had a recent friend die, and it was, you know, it was kind of sad, but I realized that it was selfishness because I was more thinking about, I'm not going to see this person again.
You know,
Rich, aren't funerals for the living anyway, Rich?
Well, even Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead.
You know, Rich, what you're addressing is really actually coming back to this very thing that Jesus is confronting Nicodemus about. It truly is. We get caught up in the physical, and when we go to a funeral, what do we see? A dead body. And, you know, when I'm leading a funeral service, I don't go there to talk about a dead body. I want to go there and talk about what did God's love do for this person that he wants to give all of you here sitting in the pews. And so I turn it from not a dirge and have the lamentable hymns and songs, but rather a celebration of life, celebration of what the eternal life that we Christians have because of that faith the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts.
Yeah, but what was it to John 3:16 here said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life.
Then why do we cry at funerals?
You know,
I quit that.
I'll take it right back to what you just said.
I no longer cry at funerals, Rich.
You know, Rich, one of the things I do when I'm presiding at a funeral service is I'm very upfront with the family. I meet with them beforehand, and I tell them, now, I'm going to tell you my hidden agenda up front. When we start this worship service, I know we're going to be starting with the physical, and I know we're going to be talking about that person's life. But I want you to know right now, my job here is to take us in a transitional journey from the physical to the spiritual.
Which is what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus, wasn't it?
Very much so. That's what he's taking Nicodemus here.
Yeah, and also, Rich, I have to say that we've probably all been to a variety of funerals, and there are different motives behind the different funerals. You know, and I think in most Lutheran churches, the emphasis is going to be on the resurrection. It's, you know, it's going to be on God's love, and that. You know, it is really, in fact, intended to be a celebration. You know, I mean, say all that, and at the same time realize that I've been to those funerals where, you know, people are breaking down in tears, and they see it as their role to show their grief.
It's kind of like the town criers.
Yeah, Rich,
I never understood it.
Well, Rich, we have to take a quick break. I want to thank you so much for tuning
Absolutely.
In. But let me ask
you. God bless you guys.
Wait a minute. Just a minute here. Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Before we leave, Clark asked a question, and I'd kind of like to paraphrase it. And with respect to this gospel lesson, Rich, do you know anyone who is in control of their lives?
Yes.
Who is that?
Tommaso Polimedesi. Or Alessandro Benassai. They both live in Rome, Italy.
And they're in control of... What gives them that control?
Christ.
Ah. Thank you very much for the call, Rich. Appreciate it.
You can find them at archeosophia.com.
All right.
And before you hang up on me, can I talk to the pastors again? Because I'd like to talk to them away from the radio.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and I'll work something out. Folks, this is Leap to Faith. Michael Olson here. We're having lots of fun tonight talking about John with Pastors Clark Brown from St. Timothy Lutheran in Monterey, Pastors Rich Rice from Messiah Lutheran up in High Street in Santa Cruz, and you. Pick up your phone and join us. Are you in control of your life? Do you know anyone who's in control of their lives? 831-479-1980 and 477-1340. Right back after these quick messages.
You're tuned in to the Leap to Faith radio program. Leap to Faith is brought to you by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, by the Churches of the Monterey Bay Area Lutheran Conference, and by listeners just like you. We cordially invite you to experience the gospel lesson being discussed in today's program in Sunday's worship service. One of the principles that Martin Luther championed was that scriptures and worship need to be in the language of the neighborhood. There are 17 neighborhood Lutheran churches in the Monterey Bay area, and some of them are in yours. For Lutheran churches near you, log on to our website at www.leaptofaith.org. If you'd like to make a donation to the Leap to Faith radio ministry, please send it to Leap to Faith, care of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, 2500 Soquel, Santa Cruz, California, 95062. You can also make a donation by logging on to www.leaptofaith.org. Now let's go back to Leap to Faith.
Welcome back. This is Leap to Faith. Michael Olson here with Pastors Clark Brown, St. Timothy Lutheran Church in Monterey, Pastor Rick Rice, Messiah Lutheran, High Street in Monterey, or in Santa Cruz, up here on the hill, next to the city on the hill.
You betcha.
And, of course, that came from the Bible, of course. The city of
city on a hill.
City on a hill, yes. And that's what we're working on, folks, the Bible. Specifically, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, one of the leaders of the Jewish church, sneaks up and for a visit with Jesus in the middle of the night and tells Jesus, "You are the man. You are the one that's going around making all of these miracles. You are the one. What am I to think of you?" But he never asks a question. Why doesn't he ask a question? He makes a statement. He never asks a question, Clark.
At the beginning there, he doesn't ask the question. He wants to say, he doesn't want to just come to him empty-handed. He wants to come to him as someone who has authority, who is proving himself. He's calling him a teacher, and yet he, at some level, wants to retain his own status as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my sense. I really think Nicodemus is being pulled to Jesus, but he there's something holding him back, and so he keeps him at arm's length.
I guess we're all kind of like that to
some extent. I think so. I think that's the issue here.
Yes,
keeping God at arm's length.
Keeping so, you know, this piece of text was written about 2,000 years ago. What do we think of it today? I mean, what is Jesus telling us, those of us who live in today's world, by saying that we must be born again?
Well, the temptation.
Or is it born again, or is it born from above?
It's yes. Both, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. The temptation is for us to think that we are just only the physical beings that come out of the womb and you know, grow and live in this world, and if we think that, well, then, you know, it's really easy to say, well, then the only thing that matters are all the physical things, all the physical trappings of my life, you know, and my physical pleasure, my physical happiness, and
that I live in a nice home, and I drive a fast car, and I can eat sushi on demand whenever I want.
Sushi on demand. I know you like that one. And, you know, that's all well and good, because Jesus does not say that the physical is bad, but there's more than that.
Why aren't we ever satisfied with things?
Well, I mean, why are we not satisfied? Because there's so much more than just sushi on demand. Yeah. There is so much more in the spiritual realm that God wants us to be part of.
You know, the very text here that Nicodemus comes out with, he points out that you must have God with you. And John is playing here. If you've had paid any attention to what John said in his first chapter, John is playing off his first chapter here in coming up. Because right here, not only is Jesus having God's presence, Jesus is God. And that's one of the trappings that we have a struggle with. Because we want to either say he's either God or man. And John's trying to force us to see in this experience and in make the application in our own lives that it's both the physical and spiritual. God wants the whole person, not just a part of.
How does being born again or being born from above help us live in this world? I mean, what good is it going to give to bring us to be born from above or to be born again?
Yeah.
You know, I think of it as in terms of perspective. You know, truly, have you ever, you know, had a conversation with someone, and every time you have a conversation with them, they're always coming from their point of view, and maybe it's a negative point of view or something like that, and it's coming, that's their worldview because of what they've experienced. And truly, what Jesus is talking about in terms of being born from above, born again, is truly a life-changing new creation experience for a Christian, so that we now look at the world not just from the what can I get out of it point of view, but rather look what God has given in his Son to all of us, eternal life. He has given us a love that goes beyond my comprehension.
What does that mean to us, though? I mean, if we accept that, what does it bring us?
Well, let me pick up. Eternal life figures pretty prominently in here,
right?
And what are we talking about? What Jesus is talking about is not just immortality. Okay, then that's how we traditionally interpret that. But
right.
but what Jesus is saying is. No, we're talking about the life that is eternal. That is the life of God. And so he's saying here, you get connected to the God's life, the life of God, the presence of God through me. You get connected to that. And that is where we discover the true satisfaction, where it's truly human. You know, that's where we find true wholeness and peace and healing.
So the satisfaction that lasts longer than the taste of sushi, right?
There you go.
That's right. That's
right. So, okay, how does one go about being born again or being born from above? You know, we hear this expression born again Christians, and it's almost like, as I was saying earlier, it's almost like a curse word these days, you know, it's people, those born again Christians and that. But I think that, you know, we've been talking about what it really means is that Christians aren't necessarily the perfect ones at all.
You know, that really does touch on Martin Luther has a quote. It's actually out of his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And how are we born again? Martin Luther says, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. And you want to know how to be born again? It's let go and let God. When the Holy Spirit is working in your life, that's the experience of that born-again life.
Maybe the harder we try to grasp for it, the harder it is to get to accept and to have faith in then.
Because we'll always be pulled back to the rational physical life, like Nicodemus is. How do I crawl back into my mom's womb in order to be born again? Well, you know, that's not it.
And we're great people. In our culture, we are just at the pinnacle of being able to grasp at the rational and the physical.
And the scientific.
You know, so that's right. Yeah. We trust the scientific. We trust it so much, even though it is also full of mystery. What I would suggest is, if there was someone who is listening and saying, well, I don't really know if I believe, and in fact, they may even say, I'm pretty sure I don't believe, but somehow you're being pulled to this kind of thinking and life. Well, Jesus promises to send the Spirit among the church. That is his body. You know, the churches of the Santa Cruz and Monterey and, you know, all over the world, we are just like little imperfect expressions of that. And yet there is the Holy Spirit in each of those churches. Now, what do you do? That's all I can suggest.
Yeah, it's not like you can buy it.
That's right.
You can't buy it.
You can't go buy a self-help book and find the Holy Spirit there, I'm afraid to say. Very tempted to think, though.
One of the phrases that I was told as I was just starting to, you know, teach the faith, so to speak, in a confirmation class, you know, faith is something that's caught. It's not taught. And so, like, if I'm trying to stand up here and lecture someone right now, it's not going to work. If you want to believe, you got to catch it. You got to let the Holy Spirit truly let his love.
Perhaps let the Holy Spirit catch you.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that wind.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know where you can hear it.
And that's the point. When you try to catch it yourself, again, it puts it back onto you. But when the Spirit is literally picking you up and placing you into that trust, into that faith, that's the miracle. And that's what's happening here with Nicodemus as we see the story unrolling in the gospel.
There are many spiritual giants throughout the history of the church who have come to realize that on certain days they may not believe, and yet the Spirit keeps believing for them and keeps moving them.
You know, I can tell you, this last month, New Year's Eve, I went down on all fours from a spasm in my back, and I had a herniated disc, and that's why when Michael was welcoming me earlier, he was referring to that a little bit. And I tell you, there were a couple of points where the pain was so bad, I just started arguing with God about it. And I finally had to say, okay, God, I know what you're trying to teach me here is another lesson of humility. To let go and to trust you. And sure enough, folks, I'm sitting here feeling pretty good. I've had surgery, and I know God's been at work. And he's been at work in his community of faith at Messiah Lutheran as they've cared for me. You know, the table got turned, folks. The minister got ministered to by the community of faith, that Messiah. And I want you to know that I know the Spirit was at work.
And there's no way you can go out and buy it, is there? It's just you have to let it catch you.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you both, I assume, you're not going to preach on this particular piece of John, but you're going to work on another piece, but how do you preach this particular section of John, Clark?
Well, you know, the emphasis here for me is that, you know, just like you didn't choose to be born, you don't choose to... You really don't choose to be born again or born from above. God is really active. God is the pursuer who keeps after us. And there is that sense that we are always holding God at arm's length.
You know, many people... Rick, many people look at born-again Christians as being the holier-than-thou. I don't see how it's possible to become holier-than-thou if you approach being born from above like Jesus suggests here. It seems like humility really is the key here if you are truly born from above or born again, that you have been given a gift through absolutely nothing that you have ever done to deserve this gift is being given to you. So I don't see how one could possibly adopt this holier than thou.
Well, really, that's, you know,
attitude toward the world. You know, I'm born again and get out of my way.
You know, that text is, you know, the whole spiritual life that Jesus was teaching people. Even when he spoke with authority, he spoke with a gentleness and love and humility, you know. And that's truly, you know, where God is leading us, not to be the Rambo Christians going out to save the world, you know, with all our armor, so to speak, but rather he sent us out with his love.
So in that respect, Mother Teresa really was the Christian soldier, wasn't she?
She very much was.
The great challenge for us is that we are very much immersed in the culture, and our culture is one in which we value the independence and the choice. Our, you know, common definition of freedom is that I get to choose what I buy. I get to choose what I wear. When we come into a text like this, if we take that frame mindset, boy, it's going to really mislead us. But when we're, instead of being immersed in the culture, if we're immersed in the Spirit, it's a completely different understanding.
It's being born from above.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go, folks. This has been Leap to Faith. Michael Olson here. We've been talking about John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. This gospel lesson will be the focal point of many Christian church communities this coming Sunday. And you're invited to pick yourself up Sunday morning and go to church and see if that Holy Spirit will catch you. It certainly doesn't have to happen at church. It can happen anywhere. But you have to be open for it. You have to be susceptible, I guess it were. Clark, what time is church Sunday morning?
It's 10 a.m.
We're at
St. Timothy is at 52 Soledad Drive in Monterey. We're right at the Soledad exit, easy to find.
Pastor Rick Rice?
Services are at 5:30 Saturday night, 8 a.m. Sunday morning, and also 10 a.m. Sunday morning on the corner of Spring and High Street on your way up the hill towards the university.
That's Messiah Lutheran. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Leap to Faith.
You have been listening to Leap to Faith. Leap to Faith is brought to you by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, by the Churches of the Monterey Bay Area Lutheran Conference, and by listeners just like you. If you'd like to make a donation to this radio ministry, please send it to Leap to Faith, care of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, 2500 Soquel, Santa Cruz, California, 95062. You can also make a donation by logging on to leaptofaith.org. We cordially invite you to experience the gospel lesson discussed in today's program in Sunday's worship service. For a church near you, log on to our website at www.leaptofaith.org. Now let's go out and leap to faith.